Good morning, 906. You are listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr. Mike Wiggins is here to answer all your gardening, shrubbery, grassery, I don't know.
Grassery,
good. Lawnery.
Good. Yeah, let's talk about that. That's
all
good.
The questions, because it's getting warmer out there. Looks like we're going to be in the 80s again today. So I'm sure water's going to come up at some point.
There's no question about that. But as we hit the 80s, and if you're doing your watering schedule, your grass is really going to take off. I mean, it's gradually come out of dormancy, some not all the way, but it's almost there. But if you fertilize, if you haven't fertilized yet, go ahead and do it as soon as you can. You don't need any weed killer in the fertilizer. Just put your lawn fertilizer on as soon as you can. Water the devil out of it, and you're going to see your grass really recover. It's just that time of year. That soil really needs to warm up for that grass to take off, and it is taking off. So if you haven't fertilized, I certainly would do it pronto. I really think that's important. Here we are into May, and it's time to do it, no doubt about it. Also, I promise you, Jenna, this is the last week that I'll complain about the oak leaves.
Oh boy!
I'm just going to quit complaining about it, because I really think, maybe wishing and hoping, that it's almost over. The leaf drop, almost over. But every time I say that, they just come right back. I had a grandson help me rake the yard. We raked up bag after bag after bag of leaves, and I went in the house, came back out about an hour later. It was like snow. It was just horrible. So I won't complain about it. I know our folks listening are just sick and tired of me complaining about it. But I love my oak tree. But, man, it has been a challenge this year.
We're almost to the end of that season, and then the magnolia leaves will fall.
Well, I always say the magnolia leaves fall every day of the year.
See, I have noticed we've been taking care of our magnolias with our knockout roses under it and our gardenias, and ever since we kind of got rid of tons of the weeds and extra things that were getting scattered, whether wood chips or fallen branches, everything's a lot healthier, and it kind of seems to be like our magnolias are only shedding in different times.
Right.
It's not every day like it used to be when we weren't taking care of around
the roots of the tree.
The
base of it. Absolutely. Well, let me ask you a question. How are your knockout roses? I mean, around town, they are spectacular.
I don't know another word other than popping.
Absolutely.
They are popping.
They've popped, and then they're putting on new buds and popping again.
Oh, my
goodness.
It's
a great plant. It really is. And this time of year is just beautiful.
And then the agapanthus have just been insane.
I still have about 50% tight buds.
Oh, okay.
And about 50% almost open, and a couple wide open. Beautiful blue, big stalks, healthy as they can be.
That's how you know it's like the end of spring, early summer.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Oh, it is beautiful. And it's just a great plant. And as we talk about, and people want to know what are some good landscape plants for, say, a semi-sunny area, that agapanthus is just terrific. Mine is the oak tree I'm complaining about. It gets a little bit of that oak tree shade on the south side of my house, but, man, they are beautiful. And what I like about them, not only, obviously, the blooms, who wouldn't like that, is how nice the foliage looks, quite frankly, year-round. It's just one of those great plants that is going to bloom kind of on the same page as an azalea. The plant looks nice. Then you have your blooms in the spring, unless you have an encore azalea, which means you're going to have an encore. You'll have some more blooms later in the year.
Oh, cool.
Off your encore azaleas. But the agapanthus, you're right, Jenna, they are absolutely gorgeous. And it's just a great time of year. Things look really, really pretty around Pensacola, no doubt.
Oh, yes. And maybe today will be a good day. To find a place somewhere around Pensacola, maybe in your backyard if you prefer, to take a moment, maybe spread out a blanket, sit down, enjoy all of the beauty in your garden, because today is National Garden Meditation Day.
Oh, wow.
Have a couple
really?
Yeah.
Really? How cool is that? So you think you should do that meditation in your backyard or go?
I mean, you know, just freak your neighbors out a little bit. Just put out a blanket, right. Sit down, and just have some chime music like playing. I'm thinking, I don't obviously know how to make chime noises with my mouth. I'm not that good. I'm sorry. I didn't practice enough. But it is a good day to get outside and just enjoy your garden because it's only going to get warmer. So now is the time to really get out there and get your hands dirty and then sit down and enjoy it.
There's no doubt. And this is a good time also, if you haven't done it, is to think about your vegetables and your herbs and that type of thing. As we've always said, you don't need to plow up the backyard or fill in the pool to plant. Just get you some good containers, some good clay pots. And the other day I planted a couple of cherry tomatoes because I like them so much, regular tomato. Green pepper, then basil, parsley, and oregano. That's all I planted, all in pots.
Basil.
And they're already taken off.
Awesome.
Just water. That's in a container, as we all know, that any plant in a container generally takes a little more water. They just dry out faster, more root exposure, if you will. And so, but they're really looking good. Really looking good. But that's the only place. I don't have any room anywhere else. Unless I put a few onion sets in the flower bed every now and then. But otherwise, it's a good time to do that. It is a time to do that for sure.
This is the week. And
you can meditate over that.
Sure.
You can meditate
over your tomatoes. Whatever makes you happy. Yeah, because I'm looking at the weather in Pensacola, Cantonment, Milton, Gulf Breeze at Navarre, and it looks like we may have some rain Friday, possibility on Saturday, a lower chance, but sunshine today, tomorrow, and Thursday.
What does it look like for Sunday, for Mother's Day?
Bada bing, bada boom, high of 87. I don't know why I did that, but 87 degrees for Mother's Day, and a great... Wow. Time to get her something maybe that she'll enjoy to look at every single day. Get her something that she'll like to go outside and sit and drink her coffee or tea with.
Tell you what you can do. You can plant that herb garden for mom if she does a lot of cooking. And once again, it's not a big deal. Get you 4 or 5 pots. Get her favorite herbs. Plant them. Tell her she's got to water them. And be a nice gift.
I saw at a big box store, and I can't remember which one at the moment, but they had like a raised, it looked like a trough, almost like a sink.
Right.
And it came with everything for gardening, but on the list it said made a great herb garden because it's raised up so you can get
that.
To it.
I saw that.
Do you know
that.
What I'm talking
yeah, it
about?
It looked like a trough that a cattle
would
drink out of.
It was like brown or dark brown, dark.
Yeah.
It was black. It was so cool.
You're right.
I was very
tempted
to get that.
Yeah.
That's a good idea for mom, too. She can have it right outside the backyard.
Yes.
Go outside. She's cooking you some pizza or making some pasta, whatever it is. She's got some basil. Boom. Bing, bang, boom. We'll be here all day. This is why they pay us the big bucks. 850-437-1620. You're listening to The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jenna Barr. Got to take a quick break. Have a question for Mike. Want to send us a picture? Ooh, Catherine sent us one. I want to go ahead and check that out. Would love to hear from you this morning. You're listening to News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Tuesday. It's the Garden Line. Would love to hear from you. You've got a question this morning from Mike Wiggins. 850-437-1620 is the number to text, or you may call. In fact, we have Steve from East Milton on the line. What's your question for Mike?
Hey, good morning, guys. Absolutely look forward every Tuesday to your show. You guys are both outstanding.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks.
No, I mean it, guys. So I had a satsuma tree that every year blooms, a ton of blooms, and then bugs come along and eat 90% of the blooms off. So I've seven dusted it like twice a week this spring, and still almost all the blooms have been eaten off. So I'm kind of at a loss here.
Well, I'd be quite honest with you. If we have an insect problem, that 5% seven dust is pretty good. very old-fashioned. Toxicity is very mild. So I think you're using the right thing. You may want to you may want to swap off a little bit. There is some products out there, just fruit tree spray, if you will, that may have a different chemical that might work a little bit better, because really that 5% 7 dust is relatively mild. But it's been, like I say, it's been used on vegetables, I mean, since time began. But I certainly would swap off and look for just a fruit tree spray. It has different brand names and different ingredients, but that might solve your problem to put something maybe just a little different on there. I think that might help.
Is it a common problem for that to happen, or am I just blessed with unfortune?
Well, I'll be honest with you, you may be blessed. Because
we
hear a lot, there are a lot of, you know, citrus, you know, in our area, you know, some of the citrus trees are, you know, subject to weather problems and that type of thing. But insofar as insects eating the bugs, I don't hear that very often. But it sounds like a problem that's solvable with the right chemical. A lot of folks, and I tend to agree, want to use the chemicals as little as possible on edible plants. But if you follow the label, I think you'll be fine.
I will certainly give it a try. I really appreciate
it. Well, go get them. And really, Steve, we appreciate you calling us. We really do.
Hey, thank you, guys.
You bet.
Thank you, Steve, so much. I love watching your face when the questions come in, because your gears are a-turning, ready to answer and help as much as possible. So I absolutely love it. 850-437-1620. Let me get to a couple of texts this morning. If you have a question, you can text it in, or please call. We'd love hearing from you. So we were just talking about that raised garden bed.
Yes.
Somebody mentioned they're at Sam's Club. So thank you for that. Definitely saw it at, if it wasn't Sam's, it was BJ's, now that you mention it, because I go buy bulk. We got hungry kids. And then also wanted to ask another question about a lily of the night. Before I get to that question, it is National Teachers Day. So huge shout out to all of our teachers. You're a teacher. Did you know that, Mike? You sit and you teach us every Tuesday on the Garden Line.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So
thank you. And also, I have, my spouse has or had 40 years in the school system. Was a principal at Scenic Heights Elementary for years and years and years. So in our family, we do have teachers.
Oh,
yes.
I love that. 40 years of experience.
Absolutely.
That's incredible.
And is enjoying retirement very much.
I bet. After 40 years, yeah. I mean, exactly. I would be taking a very good nap. a huge shout out to all of our teachers.
No question about it. We
love them so much.
Sometime, I think it's there. What they do for us is underestimated.
It is the Lord's work.
It is amazing what they do. And it's so funny with Mary Ellen, who is my wife and who is the principal. So many teachers. I had a guy come up the other day and said, wasn't your wife the principal at Scenic Heights? I said, yeah. He said, well, I'm going to tell you, she took care of my two daughters, who are now seniors in college.
Oh, I love that.
My kids have been in the same school. Right.
And my son's about to graduate from fifth grade. And so I can tell you, the teachers have become friends. They've become like family. The principal has become just somebody I look up to, my kids look up to. And there's a lot changing in the world. I get it. But they're doing their best. And I think in this area, we have some of the best teachers and people who truly love their jobs. So thank you for that. Thank you to everybody who teaches, who goes out of their way to be a teacher in whatever area it is, whether it's for kids, college students, preparatories, everything, or here on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Yeah, and one last thing about teachers. Whenever someone, especially back when I was in my political days, would criticize the public school system, I say, what I want you to do is come with me over to, you pick the elementary school, I don't care which one you pick, and let's spend 2 to 3 hours walking around, talking to teachers, talking to the administration, talking to principals, and I think you'll change your mind about how good our public school system is. There are challenges, there's no question.
Of course.
But our staff and our teachers are extraordinary. I could go on and on, but I won't.
1,000%. 1,000%. We do have some questions coming in. We will get to them, if not in the next couple of minutes, after our news break at 9:30 to get a local and Fox News update. Here, we have a question about some Satsumas, so I want to make sure I get to this because we talked about Satsumas just a minute ago with Steve. Our friend Ray says that he just recently planted a Satsuma fruit tree. Does it need a second fruit tree to cross-pollinate?
No. No, you really don't need that. It'll produce on its own. You don't really need a pollinator. A lot of things do. A lot of the apple trees are a good example. If you want to plant an apple tree, you've got to have two different varieties. You've got Anna and Einsheimer. Those are the two. But that's the apples. But on the citrus, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine.
What? Okay, see, you just taught me something new. You just blew my mind. That is so cool. Okay, so but Satsumas,
right.
They're an exception.
Well, not really an exception. A lot of plants do not need pollinators necessarily. And quite frankly, some plants, look at hollies that have berries. There's male and female hollies that have berries. But you don't necessarily have to get one planted in your yard. There's so many in your neighborhood. Oh. There's so many around that it's going to take care of itself insofar as pollination is concerned.
Wow.
So, I think on your Satsuma, you're going to be just fine.
That's awesome. You're listening to The Garden Line. Got to take a quick break. We will get to your question. I see a ton of them coming in. 850-437-1620. You're listening to News Radio 92.3. Just shy of 9:29, you're listening to News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr. Mike Wiggins is here to answer your questions on The Garden Line. Have a few coming in. Let's get to this one real quick before we head on over to the news break. Let's see. Okay. This one's a little bit longer. So our listener says they live on the beach and they see a lot of iris plants that are white or yellow flowers that open up in the day and close at night. We're curious if they will grow in sand or is there soil under these plants that are in people's yards?
Well, she's probably talking about the iris that are blooming so pretty in so many people. That's one we missed a minute ago talking about what's blooming in Pensacola.
Oh,
is,
yeah.
Is the iris.
Those
this
are
one
popping
outside
too.
The studios.
Yeah.
That are absolutely, the blossom is white. It's right. But if you look at it closely, it almost has the look of an orchid. I mean, it's got all these various colors, and it's beautiful. Now, what I have found is that growing at the beach, I bet they would be fine. Two things I would do. One, don't put them on the windward side where they're going to get a lot of salt. Put them on the leeward side, on the north side of your house. Just on the north side of the house would be good. But if you're going to plant them in an area or in a container. I've got mine in a big pot with plenty of water. You just got to water them. And I have found if they're not blooming and you just pop the water to them, many times that will generate blooms in the next couple of days. So, yes, I think they'll do, but I would put them on the north side of the house.
North side of the house. North side.
The leeward.
The leeward side.
The leeward side, right.
Mama also said to tune into The Garden Line every Tuesday.
That's right.
This mama.
That's right. And mama's ready for a nice gift and a day off on Sunday, too.
That's right.
Exactly.
Thank you for going on that one. Oh, yes. We are just days away from Mother's Day. So if you want to make your mama proud, hit up some of our local nurseries or, you know, hit a big box store, whichever you fancy. Get her something that she'll be able to enjoy all summer long or all year round if she likes houseplants too.
Absolutely.
Here's a couple questions coming in, so let's get on over to our text line. 850-437-1620 is the number to text, and Mike will answer your question this morning. Mike, is it too late to sod my yard with St. Augustine? I'm planning to use a sod cutter to prepare. However, it's just all weeds. Any recommendations on prep appreciated as well? It's sandy soil.
Well, sandy soil is fine. Okay. Some of the best St. Augustine yards I ever dealt with were at the beach. So sandy soil is not a problem. Preparation is the situation, and it sounds like the person who sent us the text knows that. A sod cutter is great. That gets all that stuff out of there. What some people do, and I don't know if I even recommend this because it's using a lot of chemicals, is round up everything. Let it just turn brown, then cut it all out of there with a sod cutter. But the point is, your end result of your sodding should be clean, soft, damp soil. And it can be sand. You don't need to put any topsoil, any of that type of thing. If you're going to put down St. Augustine, I would put down limestone, dolomite limestone, before you put the sod on there. I would put it down at about, 40 pounds, say, per 1,000 square feet, and just rake it in to that soft soil, and then put your sod down. Keep in mind, and I've talked to a lot of people who, have the oak tree that I've been talking about, like me, be careful you're not sodding in dense shade, because quite frankly, it's just not going to work. And it's a lot of money and a lot of effort and a lot of time, and you just don't want to do it. You might want to think about re-landscaping. But if you've got a nice sunny area and you're going to put down St. Augustine, this is a great time to do it. Because now when you go buy the sod, it's out of dormancy, and you can kind of look at it and be sure, one, that it's got a good green color, there are no weeds in the sod, and very, very important that it has a good base to it, because of soil, because sometimes when those sod cutters in the field cut them, they cut it a little thin, and that can pose some problems for you. So in other words, check on the quality of your sod, put it down, and then water it. Water it. I'd water it every day for a couple of weeks for sure. And a lot of people over the years, when you put down that St. Augustine, have said, well, now I don't want you to mow it for 3 to 4 to 5 weeks. I totally disagree with that. Mow it when it needs it. I don't care if it needs it a week after you put it down, but obviously, and you know what we always say here, Jenna, is mow it high. Put that mower on 4 inches, which is going to seem a little high, but I promise you, your St. Augustine will thrive if you mow it high. Start scalping it, it can be problematic. So, yes, go get them. Go get them right now.
Go get them, Tiger.
Absolutely.
Today is your day. And if you want to text in a question, it doesn't have to be on subject ever. It's really about you. We are here for you on the Garden Line every Tuesday and here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Every teacher that joins us, every expert that joins us is here to answer a question. So never be afraid. Don't think it's off topic. Text it in. We, meaning Mike, is here to help you. And then I'm just here for the jokes. 850-437-1620 on the Garden Line. You're listening to News Radio 92.3. Oh, okay. Here's what I'm going to describe it to you. Okay, Mike?
Yes.
I recently discovered these yellow, not sure if it's mites is the right word, on one of my mandevillas. What do I need to do to get rid of them? I have two. One is fine, but the other one has these little yellow specks on them. What are those?
Right. It could easily be mites. There's no question about it. Mandevilla, quite frankly, is one of my favorite all-time plants. From a personal point of view, every year I have this large pot, almost an 18-inch pot, maybe 20 inches. I never measured it. And I buy a mandevilla, and when I buy it, I try to buy a mandevilla big enough that already has a trellis. But I put a big trellis behind it, because that mandevilla is going to send out all these tendrils, and it's going to grow, and it's going to be like you're going to have to kind of attach it or let it grow up into the trellis. But it will bloom all summer long into the fall. I like white ones. I have a white one, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. I do it every year. But on the insect problems that you may have on a mandevilla, I'd go very, very mild. I would do what we talked about last week a little bit. There's a product out there called insecticidal soap. It's very organic. It's not toxic. And you can either buy a little, if you have a small mandevilla, a little spritzer bottle, or you can buy a concentrate. But that should help you with the problem that you've got, no question. And I just hesitate to use some of those stronger chemicals on those tender tropicals, and that's what a mandevilla is. It's a tropical plant, and I replace mine every year because in the winter it just dies. It's simple as that, and it's in too big a pot for me to move. So I think that insecticidal soap would be my first try at controlling those insects on a mandevilla.
Okay, excellent. And I just found some at Lowe's, and going to send on over the link if you want to take a look at it.
Okay.
That way they can head on over.
Absolutely.
Today and take care of it.
Go for it.
I love that. Here's another question, 850-437-1620. I just planted some peppers and tomatoes. When do I need to put, I missed it, on them? There's a missing word. There's a missing word.
Fertilizer, maybe?
Maybe fertilizer.
Fertilizer, you would think?
I think that's, let's go with that.
Yeah, let's go with that. I would put them in the ground or put them in the pot, wherever you're going to put them. I would give them a couple of weeks, and then I would fertilize them. But I think the secret to fertilizing, we can kind of take lessons from our grandparents and great-grandparents. The farmers used to use a formula called 4-12-12. The 4 was nitrogen. Point is, you want to use a relatively low nitrogen fertilizer on your vegetables. If you could find a 4-12-12, fine. But in a lot of your garden centers, you'll find a vegetable plant fertilizer, vegetable fertilizer, if you will. Maybe sometimes you find them that are labeled just for tomatoes. But in other words, look for those three numbers and try to go as low as you can on that first number. And then I think you'll be in good shape. You start using some really high-powered fertilizers with big percentages of nitrogen, you could burn them, and you don't want to do that. That's for sure. And one last thing, you can also use some liquid fertilizers on them. I think Miracle-Gro makes one, if I'm not mistaken. Just be sure, as we always say on the Garden Line, read that label, because putting too much of anything on those tender plants can be a problem. So, in any event, I think, if fertilizer is a missing word, that's what we have to say about that. So
if fertilizer, and listen, I'm going to start charging Lowe's, or they're charging, I don't know, they're getting me, but somehow I'm finding a lot of these things are in stock at our local Lowe's here in Northwest Florida.
Right.
And some of them are organic. They've got organic options if you want to go in that direction. There's something for you. And you can always pop in to Bailey's and see. They have an entire shelf if you walk out the doors from the inside to the left. They have an entire shelf filled with fertilizers and
absolutely
insecticidal soap and things like that.
And our friends, I'll tell you right now, our friends at Pensacola Seed and Garden
have got
sometimes they have things that nobody else has.
That's true.
Insofar as insect control and disease control and fertilizer, that type of thing. So if you can't find what you're looking for, you might try them. Check with Larry out there. He knows what he's doing, no question.
Excellent. 850-437-1620. I asked you this off air last week. When do you cut back knockout roses?
Well, knockout roses are a little different than, say, your regular tea roses. I think the books will tell you your first year, don't cut it back. If you have a knockout rose and you've just planted it this year, don't cut it back. Don't cut it back. But next year, you can cut it back about a third, and that's really all you need to do. Some of the literature will say, don't worry about it. If you don't mind it being a little spindly, it'll just be just fine if you don't prune it. But I think if you're going to kind of keep it a little under control of cutting it back about a third on its second year is probably what I would do.
Okay, excellent. We're going to take a quick break, Mike, all right? We've got more for you.
Perfect.
I know Mike has stuff, something burning back there he wants to share with us. I can see that paper. He's like ready to roll and teach us today on the Garden Line. But if you'd like to squeeze in a question, 850-437-1620. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, Mambo, Mambo Italiano. Hey, Mambo, Mambo Italiano. Go, go, go. Mixed up a Siciliano, all you Calabrese do the mambo like a crazy with a hey mambo. Don't wanna tarantala, hey, hey
Mike
mambo.
Wiggins, calm down, stop dancing so much.
I was just going to say, I've said it many times. Sometimes I wish we had a little television in here to watch Jenna. This time it's the Mambo. I think it was, I don't know what it was the last time. It was a little rock and roll. But golly, good for you.
How does this not make you want to go and plant basil right now? Run out the door and plant some oregano and some basil
My oregano is in the ground. It's ready to go.
It's ready to go. Let's see if we have a couple of questions here. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, The Garden Line, every Tuesday morning at 9. Mike Wiggins is here to answer your questions. And hey, if you text in a question, I will do my best to text you back a link to what Mike is talking about. And so any question, I'll try to scoot on over a link for the product or the specific instructions that he is telling you to do. Mike, you wanted to share some things this morning.
Well, and we're not going to have time for it today, but let me just talk about it. Maybe one day coming up soon. There's a young man by the name of Daniel Leonard, who is a horticultural agent in Calhoun County. I'm not sure what Calhoun County is. Anyway, I had a conversation with him, and he sent me a copy of the PowerPoint that he had a seminar regarding new plants in your landscape. The title of his presentation was Plants to Modernize Your Landscaping. And he sent me about 8 or 10 plants, many of which we are familiar with, but these are improvements on those plants, brand new on the market that have improvements over the older types. I'm only going to mention one because we have so many Texas. I'd rather go do the Texas over here. This is the Indian Hawthorn. It's called Clean Sweep Snowbank and Clean Sweep Spring Sonata Indian Hawthorn. Indian Hawthorn, a basic landscape plant for Pensacola that's gone through some horrible, horrible leaf spot problems, and many of them are dead. People they had to just throw them away. But this one has resistance to that. It's called Endomosporium leaf spot, and it's horrible. It's like the old red top, Fotinia red top leaf spot we got. Anyway, this is a replacement for that that should do better and be resistant to that leaf spot that it gets. And it's generally, overall, a very low maintenance. Well, that's the name of it. Clean Sweep Snowbank and Clean Sweep Spring Sonata. Indian Hawthorn. Raphaeolyptus is the formal name for that you may be familiar with. But I'm so glad to see a Indian Hawthorn back on the market that is resistant to that particular disease so we can enjoy it again. I've got many more, but we'll hit those on another day.
Sonata.
That's, how about that, huh?
That was my favorite word out of all that. That's what I got.
that's a good word, too.
It's very right. Beautiful.
Absolutely.
I think they named a car after that, too. Hey, wanted to let you know a little tip there, getting ready for Mother's Day. Our friend Catherine, I adore her. She helps us so much, always giving us all the sneak peeks, keeping us up to date on plant sales, garden days. There's a plant sale happening May 6th and 7th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 6263 Dogwood Drive in Milton. May 6th and 7th, 9 a.m. to 1.
Is that the extension service?
I
don't know. And I wonder if that's the extension service over in Santa Rosa County. That address on Dogwood. I don't know.
It sounds like it,
yeah.
But it also is it. It's
yeah.
not.
I think they have somebody from Santa Rosa County, please correct me if I'm wrong. I think the county has a little nursery over there, but I'm not quite sure how all of that works. So that may be where
yes,
that
you're
is
right.
Also.
It is. It's the Santa Rosa County Extension
okay,
Services.
Good.
Man, good thing I am a fast Googler.
You did good.
I'm so impressed with myself right now.
Well, let me say this, though. Thanks to Catherine. Catherine is plugged into the horticulture community, I'll tell you right now. And it's just, as we all say, our favorite ever listener to our show. And Catherine, thank you for that.
Absolutely. If you'd like to text in any other questions or anything else going on this weekend, doesn't have to do with plants, but it is outside and it's something you might love. Blues on the Bay is back Sunday, which is a great Mother's Day experience.
Absolutely.
That's where you'll find me.
Well, find a lot of people too because it's a great event.
It's
no going
to be so much fun. Another idea to do with mom if you're looking to do something
absolutely.
You know, Saturday or Sunday.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let me see. I'm going to double check to see if we have any other questions coming in. If you want to squeeze one in, 850-437-1620. Do you recommend indoor or outdoor compost in this area? New to Pensacola. Love doing compost where we came from in California, but does it work as well here with the humidity?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. A lot, you know, a lot of people who it's really environmentally correct, you know, to make your own compost. Matter of fact, you can buy just commercially, probably at any of the garden centers, a little compost bin.
Yes.
Where you can make your own compost. And if you're going to grow a vegetable garden, that is a wonderful thing to incorporate into our sandy soil, is that compost that you have created, spread it out, turn it over with the sand that's there, and then plant. And you'll be, my goodness, you'll be very successful if you do that. It's a little bit of trouble to do that. But it really is the thing to do if you're so inclined.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Love that.
Oh, yes.
Another, real quick, what time of year to cut back the knockout roses?
Oh, I would do it early on. I would do it like in February and March.
Okay, so we can hold off for now.
Yeah, you can. Now, keep in mind, it's like a lot of plants. Like azaleas, we say, oh, never prune back azaleas after July because they set their buds. And that's true. But if you cut it back, you're not going to hurt the plant. What you're going to do, you're going to reduce the number of blooms that you have. So if you wanted to cut back your knockouts right now, I wouldn't cut it back radically. I certainly wouldn't cut them back if they're mature more than a third. But you're really not going to damage the plant. You're just going to reduce the number of blooms you're going to have as we keep going into spring season.
So maybe a trim right now, but
yeah,
later
if you,
on
if you
we'll
need,
do
if
a
you
pruning.
Need to. In other words, if it gets too big and it's hiding something else or it's encroaching on other plants, sure, go ahead and do it.
Okay, we're going to take another quick break, come back, and wrap things up this morning on The Garden Line.
I'll do what you choose, I want you to.
No doubt about it. If I don't get a chance to say it, happy Mother's Day to everybody listening to The Garden Line.
That's right. Wish your mama a happy Mother's Day. If she's no longer with you, just thank her. I believe that they're with you. And you know what? If you want to make mama really happy, give her something that shows her that you love her. Piece of jewelry attached to a beautiful plant. Or, like our friend Catherine said, go on out to the plant sale. May 6th and 7th, 9 to 1, 6263 Dogwood Drive, Milton, Florida, at the Santa Rosa Extension's office.
Right. I have one more tip before we leave. This is if you're going to plant a tomato plant, okay? Tomato plants sometimes get what they call the wilt. I want you to look at three letters, VFN. When you buy a tomato plant, see if on the label it has VFN. That means it's resistant to that particular disease. And we need to kind of get a little deeper into that, which we will do next week. But look for VFN on the large growing tomato plants that you buy.
Thank you so much. Everybody have a fantastic sunshiny day. We'll talk to you next week.